Well, this year's retreat, the theme that God gave us was reduce me to love. And what that means is to bring us to a state of or condition of completely walking in love. And it never ceases to amaze us year after year how God puts things in each of our hearts. And then when we all come together, they all fit together. It's like pieces of a puzzle. And so last night, we were given these quilting squares by Sue to express what God had spoken to each of us this weekend. And after today, we're going to collect them all, and we're going to piece them together in a quilt, a paper quilt that we're going to display here in the church as a testimony to what God did this weekend in each of our lives. And as we were singing on the worship team this morning, that song, Because of Your Love, the line in there, forever we're changed because of your love, that is just what God did this weekend. At least I know he did in me. So this is the first piece of our puzzle. We started out Saturday morning, session one, talking about scripture from John 15:13. And that is, greater love has no man than this, than he laid down his life for his friends. And we talked about how if we're going to come to a place of completely walking in love, we have to be willing to lay down our lives, and how that not only means, in some cases, a physical death like Jesus did for us, but to put others' needs ahead of our own. And how, you know, we can do things for others, but that doesn't necessarily mean we have a servant's heart. We have to have right motives, and God wants us to serve cheerfully and not grudgingly. And so that was what session one was about. That's our second piece of our puzzle. And then we followed that session with a session about waiting on God. And Heidi gave her testimony, and most of you here know Charles and Heidi's testimony about waiting on God and waiting for him to bring their baby Caleb into their lives. And so Heidi shared her testimony, and we also talked about being patient and being patient in waiting. And there's many things that, you know, we have to wait on. And, you know, for young people or singles, it's waiting on a spouse, waiting on God to bring us that significant other, and, you know, being patient and not accepting less than God's best. And, you know, in Charles and Heidi's case, it was for waiting on children. For Melissa and Luke, it's waiting on children, but we're believing that God's going to bring that into fruition. And for some of us, it's waiting on jobs, and then some of us are it's about waiting on provision. And we have some real needs here in our church, and you know, we're just waiting on God, and we're being gonna, you know, be patient in the waiting. So that's the next piece of our puzzle. And then we had lunch. We had a little bit of free time, and we had lunch out by the York River, and it was a very beautiful day, and it was just a sweet time of fellowship. We also had some ladies come from the Joy Vineyard. And that was really sweet to get to know them and just to fellowship with another part of the body of Christ. And so then after lunch and a brief period of free time, we came to session three, which was Melissa. And as she shared this morning on the worship team, she talked about love in the most desperate of times. And this session was very significant for me, and I want to read some scripture that really spoke to me. But when we are in desperate times, that is when we need to press into God all the more, and how important it is while we're in the wilderness to be in relationship with people and to be real. And you know, God just laid it on my heart that I need to be real with people, not to put on the way, but that I need to be real and not let pride isolate me. And so, I mean, I confessed that, you know, my family has been going through a hard time financially lately, and it's just really been challenging, but God has been faithful, and I know that He will continue to be faithful, but we really need relationships with each other, and we need to be real with each other so people can hold us up. And the scripture that spoke to me was in Exodus chapter 17, and, you know, basically, you know, the story of the Israelites and how they're in the desert and they have to fight battle after battle. And this particular battle, starting in verse 8, it says, "The Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites at Rephidim, and Moses said to Joshua, 'Choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hands.' So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. As long as Moses held up his hands, the Israelites were winning. But whenever he lowered his hands, the Amalekites were winning. When Moses' hands grew tired and when he grew weary, they took a stone and they put it under him and they sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and one on the other, so that his hands remained steady till sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword." And, you know, when we're in the desert and we're in the wilderness, and, you know, it's really easy to grow weary, but we want to have relationships with each other, and that, so that when we're weary, our brothers and sisters in the Lord can hold up our hands. And this was my piece of the puzzle, and it says, "In your drought, abide in the vine." And, you know, our grapes here, names on it, and all my sisters in Christ, you know, are holding me up in my time of drought. So that's the next piece of our puzzle. And then our next session was session 4, and that was given by Jenny Wisco, and she's from the Joy Vineyard, and she talks about returning to your first love. And, you know, one thing, significant thing that she pointed out to us was that, you know, in John's writing, he always referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. He never called himself by name, but he always referred to himself as the disciple who Jesus loved, and this was who he was. This was his identity, and this is also our identity. We are the disciples that Jesus loves, each one of us individually. You could say we're his favorite. And, you know, we also talked about how perfect love is contrary to fear, and how fear is a wall that we put up around our hearts, and it prevents us from loving God wholeheartedly, and we need to trust God enough and be willing to be vulnerable so that we can let our defenses down and let God fully penetrate our hearts and allow ourselves to be able to love Him wholeheartedly. That's a brief summary of what happened this weekend. So now I want to give an opportunity for the other ladies, if they have something they want to say, that they have that opportunity.
Like Kelly shared, I shared on waiting on God, and I just felt like I needed to share the scriptures that were given to us by Bethany when we first started the adoption process, and because I would go back to them again and again and again and again. When I get in despair about the adoption, I would just go back to those verses again and just hang on to them with everything. But I know we were all going through some kind of battle. And Sue, what was that? Sue's not here. She's with the twos and threes. Everyone is. Yeah, and that, I have read that before, and it just, like, jumped out at me, you know, we're all in some kind of battle, you know, we all need to feel God's love and to feel, you know, coming from each other and from God, and to be in fellowship, like Kelly said, to share with one another and be real with one another. But this verse from James 1, 2, and 4, 2 through 4, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So, there were a lot of other verses that, you know, I shared too, but I was struggling with a cold, and at the end I had to say, Kelly, here are my notes, finish it, because I can't talk anymore. But, I did my little, I'll just share about my picture here. I didn't write any verse on it because I couldn't quite get the verse that I wanted. I don't know. I'm still thinking about it. But since it was reducing to love and how God reduced me to love was in waiting for our baby. And so this is a mommy elephant and baby elephants. Oh, no. No, we're not going to go there. No, Pastor Don said no, not today.
Hi, boys and girls. My name is Leslie Smith.
Hi, Leslie.
Yes, and I want to say thank you to everybody because y'all become a family to me and my husband and my kids. I'm going to try not to get too emotional. But we have been going through a very desperate time. Too. And if it wasn't for y'all and the body of, I know it's Jesus ultimately, but if it wasn't for y'all standing beside us, we wouldn't be okay. We wouldn't have a place to live. You know, it's been really bad. And so, but it's been other things too. It's been like, I feel like I've been in the ocean and the water's too deep for me to stand and it's a hurricane and the waves are slapping me up against the rocks and, you know, and I just don't have a lot of emotional energy. So, you know, I give it all to my girls and to my husband and everything. But, you know, the thing that Jen, he started talking about, how John was the disciple that Jesus loved, and that's who he was. Mm-hmm. It's like, I knew that he loved me, you know. Duh. I mean, he died for me. But me, personally, you know, I'm his princess. You know, if we can all grasp that, we forget that when we're suffering. Like, if someone we love walks away from us and we can't bring them back, or if someone dies, you know, like my sister died. I mean, people die, you know, and you're like, it hurts so bad that we lose sight. We really lose sight of the fact of how much he loves us. And that, you know, we're like, why did you do this to me, Jesus? Why don't we have the money for our bills? Why? Why, Lord? Instead of realizing that I'm alive. Because he loves me. I wouldn't be alive if it wasn't for him. I wouldn't be able to stand here and be of sound mind if it wasn't for him. You know, and instead of asking why and just absorbing the fact that I am his beloved. And I have a t-shirt that says, I'm okay because Jesus loves me. I think I'm going to make me a new one that says, I'm a fool for Christ because he loves me. You know, because that's how I feel now and I want to stay that way. I want to be free, you know.
When Kelly asked me to speak at the retreat, I was like, okay, you know, and I, within a matter of minutes, I started feeling like I needed to talk about love in the most desperate times, and I was like, God, there is no way. Here I am, I'm desperate, I'm broken, I don't even know what you're doing in my life, why you would give me this gift that we've wanted and we've been trying for years, and then take it away. I'm mad, I don't want, no. He said yes, and I said no. We said yes and no back and forth until Friday, and I sat at my lunch table at work, and I'm like, okay, God, you know, and I'd come to the place during the week where I just knew I had to go to him. I was like, God, I'm mad at you. I'm angry. I am frustrated. I don't understand. I am and I'm just pouring out my heart, confessing to him, confessing and asking him to heal me and change my heart and not even give me understanding, but just to fill me with a peace about it. And he gave me several scriptures to share, one of them being that Psalm 107:28, it says, "Then they cry to the Lord in their trouble, and he brings them out of their distresses." And so that was something that I, you know, used in my talk, but what he just kind of showed to me was that even though I was angry and I poured out all these things that I was afraid to pour out to him, even though he knew I felt this way, he didn't abandon me in my talk. You know, he gave me what he didn't leave me standing there like this, like, I have nothing to say. All week long, I was like, I've got nothing to say. And God just poured out, gave me words and gave me encouragement. And I could stand here before these ladies and know that they love me. And I told them, I don't have any answers. These are things that God has been showing me on my journey of desperation, my, you know, bringing me out of isolation, because I isolated myself. I didn't, you know, I came up and one of the things I talked about when I said, you know, that Moses had his hands held up was that he didn't put on a brave face and say, "I'm fine, how are you, brother?" This was desperate. This was in the way of their promise. They had to get to the promised land. And so I could not continue to stand, you know, in my little mask and be like, "I'm fine. It's wonderful." Now when people come and say, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "No, I'm really not doing okay." And if I am okay, I say yes. So it's just being real with God, being real with others, letting others just come and, you know, rally around you, because sometimes we can't do it. But ultimately knowing that God is going to deliver us from our distresses, whether it looks like the way we want it to be or the way we don't want it to be, he's still there in the middle of our storm, in the middle of our most desperate, isolated minutes. He's there beside us, even though we don't know it or we don't feel it or we choose to know or not know that he's there. And so I was just really blessed to be able to gain some insight to those things.
Just briefly, I didn't make a square. I will, I guess. So, but I loved what God did. It was a blessing to have the Joy Vineyard people with us. They have their own journey with Christ, and they were very encouraging. It was just very nice to connect with the body of Christ. And that's a very international group, too, because Jinhee is Korean. Rebecca worked in Egypt for so many years in the Sudan. And so, you know, we like to think that we have some international ties as well. So it was good to interface with them. And that was a gift to us. And so that it was a gift of love to us.
With the subject of reduce me to love in the talks of the ladies, the one scripture that came to mind, even before that, you know, my prayer before going to the retreat was, "Lord, teach me something. I want more of you in me. Teach me that. You know, how do I do this?" And the scripture that I found was really cool because we found it in a calendar too. And it says, "Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others." Philippians 2:4. And again, I feel that that's, you know, as soon as I heard that being spoken at the retreat, I wrote my notes down to say, okay, this is what you're teaching me, how to, you know, put down things that I have to do, even though they'll always be there. My housework will always be there. It will always get done eventually. But to reach out to others, you know, that I won't put that as my, "Well, I can't do this because I've got all this to do," but to be able to step out and to help or to minister to others in that moment, you know, and to learn to hear from God when it's God, and not to be overwhelmed with just doing, but to know it's him that's showing me a direction to go, you know, outside of myself. Anybody else?
Everything was really good. I needed to hear everything that was said, and I really appreciated all the work that everyone did to pull it all together. But one of the verses that I can't remember who shared was from James chapter 1, and that's a verse that I have always loved. And I'll just read it real quick. It's out of the Message. Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. And my square is this, you may not be able to see it, but is this girl, she's upside down, but she has a smile on her face. When I saw that, I laughed because I feel like I'm upside down most of the time. But anyway, that's it.
I don't know exactly what to say because I'm not sure I'm going to end up crying, but basically it was right before what Melissa spoke, and I told Elena that, I mean, I kind of told her something about it, but I felt like I was going to be sick, and not physically, but emotionally, and I don't know, I was just really worried and nervous and anxious and lost and a bunch of stuff like that. And so then they wanted us to pray, and I couldn't do that, and I just started bawling and bawling. So, yeah, a bunch of stuff like that happened, and so that's my square. Anyways, oh, it just says, I put love on there, and then it says, do not despair, rhyme with you, because that's basically what Melissa spoke, and that really was for me, I think. So.
All right, I think that's it.